Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Rangers said, we're going to shed this label of being cheap and we're going to actually spend. And the big name yesterday was Marcus Semien, 31 years old, finished top three in the MVP in two of the last 3 years, gave him 7 years, $175 million to hopefully, in my mind, hopefully play second base because the Rangers, and I've heard this from four different people, we ain't done yet. I thought it was going to be Trevor Story, but now I'm getting excited about the possibilities of Corey Seager, according to Ken Rosenthal. There are people who think that Seager would leave the Dodgers to come sign here, and if we don't get him, you could end up with Story to go along with Marcus Semien and Cole Calhoun. Oh, yeah, and a pitcher, Jonathan Gray from the Colorado Rockies. All of that developing yesterday on a football Sunday.
Man, they took care of all the family business. Yesterday. They took care of a lot of it, at least. And, you know, you wonder, did they overpay? Yeah, they probably did. Toronto, take this for example. Toronto is on the cusp of something really cool. And they said, we're not going to match this offer on Marcus Semien. Like, they're close to winning. They're probably the most... If they're not the most talented team overall in the AL East, they're probably the second most talented team in the AL East. Because the Yankees got talent everywhere. They're just older or more expensive. But yeah. Toronto's got it. And they're like, you know, we're not going to sign Semien to this big deal.
Well, these were the projections from all the different websites. MLB trade rumors for Semien this offseason, 6 for $138. Jim Bowden said 5 for $148. Another site had 5 for $140. So,
well, that's a lot more money than what the Rangers gave him. 5 for $140, that's too much. That's too much money per year. I mean, that's almost $30 million a year.
Hey, Bowden said 5 for $148.
Yeah, I mean, that is like just a shade under.
Look,
30 a year.
This is not about competing. This is about relevancy. This is about reminding. Like, the Rangers had to remind Major League Baseball and our fan base, hey, we are a team here. Like, there's two teams in the state, and they had to overpay, and they had to come out swinging, pun intended, in order to get noticed. And Marcus Semien is supposed to be this incredible culture clubhouse dude. Yes, if you're another player around Major League Baseball, you could say, huh, he's going to get that. What's the market going to be set for Correa, by the way, after this type of deal? But there's also hope that other players go, whoa, Marcus Semien, he's a winner. He's not going just to chase a ring. He's going to Texas. Gray, you hope that, to me, a tornado, a whirlwind of names kind of lands throughout Major League Baseball when the storm is done, and they say, hey, Maybe Texas isn't a bad option with a brand new stadium, lack of pressure, and money to kick out before a lockout. That was the strategy we talked about on this show. Just go, and you. Normally I'm not down for this. Sign Verlander. Sign Kershaw. Sign 4 or 5 different names that can get us back into this baseball team because it's been a graveyard here for a number of years.
Yeah, it is. And
you just hope that the back end of these deals don't handcuff them for the next level, the next wave of spending that will obviously have to take place.
Well, look, you have to assume the back end of the Semien deal is not going to be great.
Right.
You know, it's only like, what, 25 a year? That's not terrible. That's not a terrible contract at all. But is the back end of the contract, is it like, all right, you know, he's up there in age, he's 36, 37, 38 years old. What is a 38-year-old middle infielder? You know, not much.
Right.
Not much, right? Normally,
you're
not
a DH.
You're a DH, and you're not paying Marcus Semien to be a DH today, at least not at the beginning. Of course, he does have home run pop. All right, in now take away the COVID year where they only played 60 games. I mean, his home run totals are in the 40s and in the 30s. It's like 45 and 33. Oh, that's pretty darn good. And it's not like he was hitting in these great hitters' ballparks. Toronto is, you know, depending on whether the roof is open or closed, it determines what kind of park it is. And then in Oakland, I mean, the baseball dies there at night. So it's not exactly like he was playing in bandboxes. I mean, he has some pop.
Sandler freaking out all day long. I mean, I couldn't ignore enough with the phone calls between this, between his Packers, his USC Trojans stealing Lincoln Riley. So Jared's going to join us at 7:20 this morning after he sat in with us for the Friday show interviewing Jerry Jones. So Max Scherzer, apparently close to a deal with the New York Mets. That's where we stand with Major League Baseball right now. Mike McCarthy just joined us. He did confirm Terrence Steele is going to be out for Thursday's game against the Saints. Terrence Steele on the COVID list, along with a number of assistant coaches. So it's back, we think, to Lael Collins. Zeke is banged up. They're weighing whether to give him some rest. McCarthy, not happy with the officiating. He mentioned it multiple times, but said, we got to clean up the penalties. The Cowboys, we know what happened against the Raiders, and that keeps them as the number one most penalized team in the NFL. Stephen Jones told this radio station they're not making a change at kicker, even though Greg Zuerlein, in his 26 games as a Cowboy, has missed a kick of some kind in at least 12 of them. So that's where we stand with the return of Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb for the Saints.
Oh, yeah. It's good to see that those guys are going to come back, even though, you know, Gallup and Wilson really stepped up in the last game. But the disaster of a game. And this is, I wonder how coaches and how this team, how they like the stretch of games they're in. The Sunday, Thursday, Thursday, Sunday. You know, like, do they like it? Do they like that stretch? Where every single year it's the same thing. Is it annoying? Is it a problem? Because, you know, now, what'd you say it was? The third straight year where all the Thanksgiving Day games, all the home teams lost?
Yep.
Like, it's just a weird thing to have them all. I get Detroit loses every year anyway, in general.
So it's at New Orleans. I mean, we got three straight road games now. At New Orleans, at Washington, at the Giants, before coming back home for Washington, Arizona, then at Philly. At New Orleans, at Washington, who will play tonight against Seattle, at New York, who we owe a thank you to after what they did yesterday versus Philly.
1:17 remaining in the first quarter. Hurts back. Hurts steps up. He's still looking, fires, and it is intercepted at the 5-yard line by the Giants.
That was the call on Eagles Radio. The Tolos have asked Troy to spy. He's been doing it with Filthy Radio this morning. We'll play that at 8 o'clock here on DFW Sports Station. It was a low-scoring game after the Giants fired Jason Garrett, and a report came out that Joe Judge wanted Jason Garrett gone last year. There's another report from Jason LaCavora that Dave Gettleman is likely walking away. Jalen Hurts throws three interceptions. Daniel Jones was nothing special. Neither was Saquon. No one was in this game. That's why it was 13-7. Yeah. New York wins. Eagles fall to 5-7.
Yeah, it was clearly Jason Garrett's fault that the offense was so bad. You know, they went out and scored 13 points without him. Maybe it was just, I don't know, the quarterback sucks.
Well, you wanted him to develop. You thought he developed Dak. He should have developed Daniel Jones. That's all you keep saying. And to defend JGZ.
Hang on. I never said that. I never, ever once said that.
What? You didn't say what?
What you're insinuating that I said.
That Jason Garrett deserved credit for developing Dak. So then he should go and develop Daniel Jones, too.
No, hang on. I don't think he should get credit for developing Dak. I'm just saying, if everyone is going to give coaches credit for developing quarterbacks, then you better keep it consistent, and you better give Jason credit for developing Dak. I don't give any coach credit for developing a quarterback. The quarterback develops the coach. That's how I view things. So I don't give Jason credit for Dak. I don't give Jason credit for Daniel Jones. I don't give any credit quarterback, any coach credit for any quarterback, but you damn well believe I am going to keep you guys consistent that if you're going to give any coach credit for developing a quarterback, then you're going to give all the coaches credit for developing the quarterback.
Is Jason Garrett a good offensive mind?
He's a good football coach.
I would not hire him as your team's offensive coordinator?
No, I would hire him as a head coach. I would not hire him as an offensive coordinator.
So the Giants drop Filthy. Good for us.
Yeah, good for us. Bad for us if you actually look at what would happen if the season ended today. If the season ended today, the Giants would have the 6th and 7th picks in the NFL draft.
Ew.
And the Eagles would have the 9th, 10th, and 14th.
Whoa, no.
Five Ew. Of the top 14 picks?
Yep.
Oh, and then Washington? No.
Washington up there as well. They'll take on the Seahawks tonight. So that's what happened in the NFC East. We know in the NFC, Green Bay handled the Rams. The Rams are struggling like we are. So at the top of the conference, it's Arizona as the one, Green Bay as the two. Tampa Bay came back and beat the Colts. They're the three. We are the number four, and the Rams are the five. The hottest team in the NFL did it again yesterday to the Titans.
Jones is back in the pocket, throws down the middle, caught by Bourne, running room to the outside as he carries to the 30.
Oh, nice.
Then he's down the sideline, it's 15, away from a defender, into the end zone.
Touchdown.
To run after the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
Pats radio with the call, 36-13. They're on fire. If the Ravens would have lost last night, New England would have been the one seed in the AFC. They moved to 8-4 after what they did to the Titans. The Titans were still able to run the football. They were missing AJ. They were missing Julio. They're missing Henry. They still ran for 270 yards and lost. The Patriots lead the NFL with a plus 146 point differential. Wow.
Yeah, and that's what they lead the NFL. But since week 7, the Pats have the best record, the best points per game with over 35, the best points allowed average at 10.5, and the best turnover differential at plus 13.
Ooh. I don't have any rooting interest in them. Like, I don't love anything about the Patriots, but I do admire greatness and genius. And to see Belichick do this after kicking Cam to the curb, I enjoy it. It's impressive to be this good and almost the number one seed in the AFC with a rookie quarterback who he settled on, according to some people. 36-13. They're probably peaking too early, but they're on fire.
I'm rooting for them. I mean, who would not love to see a Brady Belichick Super Bowl? If you have no rooting interest, I mean, just the amount of storylines, that is what the NFL is hoping for. You know that. You know the NFL is hoping for Brady versus Bill.
Or the Cowboys.
Look, I think if you had to ask Roger Goodell today, would he rather have the Cowboys in the Super Bowl or Brady versus Belichick? I think he says Brady versus Belichick without hesitating.
Ooh. I mean, it'd be a monster matchup.
It'd be a monster matchup.
Monster rating.
Yep. Absolutely. Huge rating. It would just get numbers like crazy. It'd just be an enormous game.
All right, let's move on over to college football. We're going to get into Lincoln Riley. We've been talking about it nonstop. Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma, not for LSU, but for USC. An amazing day of college football on Saturday. I could have been at this game. Instead, I was at a play at Fair Park. Cue the torture.
Oh, my God.
Bryce in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Backpedals. Looks left. Throws. Touchdown. 2-point conversion. And Alabama wins. John Metchie on the grab. John Metchie on the grab.
Bama Radio with the call. They come back and beat Auburn. 4-over. A lot of people were ticked off at Auburn in this game with a play that they made and ticked off at the overtime rules. Alabama survives.
All right, so let's get to the bigger story. How are you going to go to this game?
Yeah, why didn't you?
My brother-in-law got tickets. He's a diehard Auburn fan. He offered it to me a few weeks ago. I had gotten the wife her early birthday present to see this show that she's obsessed with. Hamilton, I had to decline. Yeah.
So you went and saw Hamilton?
I saw a play. Hey, let me say one thing.
You saw Hamilton? Is it the Iron Bowl?
How was the scene where he hits 5 home runs against the Orioles?
Hey, didn't end well.
Oh, sorry.
You want to solve COVID in this country? Send them all to a play at Fair Park. That's how you solve it. My Lord. Everyone masked up. There wasn't mandatory signs. No drinks in there. You had to be masked up.
There was no drinks?
No drinks allowed inside. You should have seen us with degenerates. We were sneaking things in.
Oh, did you get a flask?
College
What'd
kids.
You have?
Back to college.
No, tell us about the flask.
Yeah.
Back to, no, I put drinks like straight up in the purse. She got a soaked purse. I have to, this play cost me Auburn, Alabama memories and probably a new purse at Christmas with the gin and tonic spilled in there. All right, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma 37-33. Ed Orgeron's final game was a win over Troy's Aggies 27-24. Georgia shut out Georgia Tech. The win that I know we're talking about at 7:40, though, Michigan over Ohio State 42-27.
You could have said who was going to win this game. I don't know how many people. Well, I know how many people. 90% of the people bet on Ohio State to win.
Ask the books.
Vegas. Wow. Vegas is building a new casino today. Like, somebody out there is going to build a completely new building just based off of this game. What a absolute destruction. And, you know, like, they hadn't won since 2011 against Ohio State. Jim Harbaugh was 0 for life. Against Ohio State.
Yes.
And he finally gets his big win. And now I cannot wait for tomorrow with the Final Four, the college ball playoff, the updated rankings, the final rank, the second to last rankings that we're going to have.
Mavs will take on the Cavs tonight. They have lost 4 of their last 5. Stars versus the Panthers tomorrow. Stars have won 4 straight. Headlines to recap your Thanksgiving weekend and get you ready for your Monday as a Tolo. We got WrestleMania tickets to give away all week long?
Yes, during the 8 o'clock hour.
Let's not forget that. WrestleMania giveaway in the 8 o'clock hour. But I want to talk about the acquisitions. I want to talk about the spending. I want to talk about the possibilities. I want to talk about Lincoln Riley rolling out to California. This guy is flying high. He could have dunked this morning. He probably dunked in his 4 a.m. basketball game.
Yeah.
Jared Sandler, Ranger Insider, talking about the Rangers offseason and his school getting Oklahoma's Lincoln Riley next with Sean and RJ. Mm-hmm. College football kegger is coming up at 7:40 this morning. Troy has been spying on WIP in Filthy. How much are they freaking out over Jalen Hurts and Jalen Rager?
Jalen Rager!
After the Giants beat the Eagles, and of course tonight with Monday Night Football, it'll be the football team taking on the Seattle Seahawks. But what perfect timing. Cowboys off, Rangers on. What a huge day yesterday as they attack free agency like no one else in Major League Baseball after the weekend. Marcus Semien, $175 million, right-handed pitcher, John Gray. They get Cole Calhoun, and they're supposedly not done yet. Jared Sandler joining us here on your home of Rangers baseball. How good of a day was this for the Rangers yesterday?
I think it was huge. First of all, obviously adding 3 players, most notably Marcus Semien and John Gray, probably second in that pecking order. I just think, you know, for an organization that has not really made attempts to spend other than going after Anthony Rendon a couple years ago, they entered this offseason wanting to spend, wanting to make a statement that they were ready to take the next steps and let pretty much everyone else around Major League Baseball know that they mean business. And it's never a given, you know, unless you're the Yankees or the Dodgers, really. And they're not even successful 100% of the time, but they seem to have a really high hit rate when they want to get a free agent. They seem to get them. But for pretty much everyone else, and that includes the Red Sox and the Cubs and all these other, you know, big-name franchises, it's not a guaranteed deal. And so to be able to go out and get someone like Marcus Semien, who is as respected as he is around Major League Baseball, if you're going to convince him to come to your 100-loss 2021 team, then I think it shows that you mean business, and I think it sends a message to the rest of Major League Baseball.
Jared, you know, Toronto obviously is in a position to, you know, make the playoffs. They're a very, very good team. Why would they have not matched the deal or gone above and beyond what the Rangers did to keep Semien?
Well, I think, first of all, the reports about, you know, their pursuits on the mound, I think they looked at it where they hit the crap out of the ball last year. Mm-hmm. They didn't pitch it as well. And the other thing is, you look at all their young talent, they're going to have to pay those guys. And so They want to keep the Bo Bichette and the Vladdy Juniors and, some of their young players. And remember, they paid a lot of money to George Springer and what other pursuits they had. Signing Marcus Semien might not have been feasible. It's not that they didn't want him. I think it was just more of, hey, it's more of a want than a need, and we got to focus on our needs. This is one of the things that's so fascinating about team building in Major League Baseball, is you got so much to consider, and it's sometimes tough to get it in the moment as a fan. It's always frustrating when your team's not good and you don't go out and make the big moves, but there's always the future that you're considering. And that applies to good teams and average teams and bad teams. But I think that's the biggest reason why, RJ. They're not the Yankees or the Dodgers with unlimited funds. They just didn't have the ability to sign Semien and also be in a position financially to keep some of their young studs who are the heart of their franchise.
Tell us more about Semien as a player and what position is he going to play here?
Yeah, probably second because, as you alluded to, the Rangers, I don't believe, are done. And I'd say close to the dial today. I think the Rangers are very much in the mix on Corey Seager and Trevor Story. I know there are reports that Seager might make an announcement today. I don't think there are any guarantees, but I definitely think the Rangers are in the mix there. And if they sign Seager, he'd likely play short, and Semien would play second. I think Semien is a guy who came up. I've been able to watch him since Cal, and I'll tell you right away, when he was at Cal Berkeley, I did not think Marcus Semien would be a guy who'd make $25 million a year. But he's one of these guys who, busted his tail. He credits Ron Washington a lot defensively, making him better as a shortstop. He ended up winning a Gold Glove as a second baseman. Good player. I think from an offensive standpoint, yeah, he hit 40-plus homers last year. I don't know that that's the expectation this year, but he's a guy who can hit 30 home runs. He's a tough out, and I think if you follow the Rangers last few years offensively, they've had a lot of guys who are big swing and miss guys who you wouldn't necessarily identify as tough outs. They could perform well, but they're not tough outs. And Marcus Semien is a tough out. He'll walk. He's not going to strike out a ton. And I think the other thing, I got some texts last night from some of his former teammates, two with Toronto, and then three with Oakland. And they all basically had the same thing to say. You are going to love Marcus Semien. He is the best leader I've played with, including a former Ranger, Jake Diekman, who got to spend a lot of time with him at Oakland, who went so far as to call just because he wanted to share how much he appreciated his time with Marcus Semien. And I think that while that's not tangible, when you've got a team that's young, that is still searching for its direction, having a guy like that who can help shape and build the culture, I don't know how many home runs that leads to. I don't know how many RBIs that leads to and whatnot, but that stuff does make a difference. And I do think there's a lot of value in signing Marcus Semien for that reason as well.
What is the number that you think Seager or Story gets?
Well, I think that Seager gets 10, if I had to guess, 300-plus. I think Story might get 10 for a little less. I don't think Story is quite a $30 million a year. I think he might be 28. I mean, I'm just pulling numbers out of my butt, RJ. I mean, he could go and get 35 a year for all I know. But my guess is Seager's going to be the more he's going to be the more compensated out of the two. You might be able to sneak below 10 years on Story. I don't think you're going to sneak below 10 years on Seager. And I do think you're looking at north of $30 million for Seager.
If they get Seager, I mean, what type of shockwave does that send throughout Major League Baseball? Like, why would he come here? The Rangers get someone like that. He's the better option over Story, right? Like, what type of shockwave does that send that the Rangers get Corey Seager?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would surprise a lot of people. I think it would surprise them in the sense that, going into the offseason, I don't know that people necessarily pegged the Rangers getting Semien and Seager. I think like the getting both of those guys, it would be a holy smokes type of thing. But I think teams are now bracing for that. I think everyone knew the Rangers were going to spend. I don't think people knew the degree to which they were willing to spend. And I want to make something clear here too. Let's say the Rangers do sign Corey Seager. Let's say he makes $32 million a year. I've been asked, well, does that mean the Rangers are tapped out? They might not go and sign another big name this offseason, but they're not done in subsequent off seasons. It's not like they're spending all their money right now and next offseason, they're going to go back to bargain hunting. They've got more in the tank beyond this. And I think that why would he come here? First of all, I don't think you can understate the value of the relationship with Chris Woodward from their shared time in Los Angeles. And frankly, Chris Woodward's time in Seattle with his brother Kyle. That's where the relationship with the Seager family started. And even I think Justin, I think Chris worked with Kyle's younger brother Justin in the Mariners minor league system. So there are deep ties to the Seager family. I know that the Woodwards went to Corey's wedding last offseason. And so there's a strong relationship there. We always hear people say they want to come play for Texas, and it's an eye roll because they don't. But I do think that guys want to come here. I think they love the facilities. I think people enjoy the DFW market. And at the end of the day, why will they want to come here, Sean? Because if the team's going to pay you more than $30 million a year, you got to take them seriously. And I think the Rangers are stepping up, and they've got the money to spend. And for that reason, I think Corey Seager takes it seriously. I think the other thing is I think people look at the Rangers. These guys are smart, right? You know, if we know about the prospects and whatnot, if Corey Seager cares about winning, he knows what the future might hold, and there are no guarantees. But I think people look at the Rangers and think that they've got a bright future. And they, you know, Corey Seager feels like, hey, I'm going to join Marcus Semien. We're going to help bring this to the next level.
What is John Gray outside of Coors Field?
It's a great question. And I think it's always tough to, you know, I was talking to Sean about this yesterday. I think you get the numbers for both the hitters and the pitchers, home road splits, and they are what they are, right? I think it's tough, though, to just assume that's what it's going to be outside. For instance, for hitters, they spend 81 games looking at different breaking balls than they do on the road. You know, the breaking balls just do not have the same effect in Coors Field that they do outside. And so it's almost like they're seeing two different types of pitching, whereas a visiting player just deals with it for, you know, three games, four games at a time. Same for pitchers. You know, pitchers have to change the way they pitch at Coors Field sometimes than, you know, away from Coors Field. John Gray's got a really, really good slider. I think people believe that his curveball will only improve now that he's not going to spend time at Coors Field, half the year. But I think the real key here is people look at his fastball and think this pitch has the potential to be so much better. And the reason why that's significant, you know, people can be critical of the Rangers and past years all they want. Where have they maybe had the most success in the offseason? It's identifying undervalued pitchers and specifically guys who they feel like have room to grow with their fastball. And they have had success with Mike Minor and Kyle Gibson and most notably Lance Lynn. And so they have, you want to look at like what their strengths perhaps have been. This is one of them. And so John Gray is one of these guys. If you've seen him pitch, there's a good chance you've seen him pitch and think, man, like this guy's really good. And you go and you look at his numbers and you're like, huh? You know what, man, his numbers aren't as good as I thought. And I think that a lot of people believe there's room to grow. The Rangers got him at a really good price too. I mean, you're paying about $13 million a year for a guy who could very well be your opening day starter and probably on a really good team as a number two or a number three. That's not a bad deal at all.
Jared Sandler here on 105.3 The Fan. Your reaction to the Semien and Gray news versus your reaction to your USC Trojans getting Lincoln Riley.
Well, so first of all, I just want to let you know, I just finished playing basketball. I'm standing in a parking lot. I'm wearing a USC sweatshirt, USC basketball shorts, a USC shirt, USC socks, and my USC shoes. So,
Did you play well today, or were you too hyped?
I definitely played with a lot of energy. I played great defense. I didn't shoot the ball so great.
Annoying. Annoying scrapper.
So annoying.
No. I shot the ball okay. It wasn't like a bad shooting day. It wasn't a great shooting day. Wish I would have done a little better job finishing in the paint, but that's okay. I was pretty fired up. Guys, yesterday was, I was trying to think of it, like maybe top 10 day as a sports fan for me, just like with the Rangers news and the USC news. What a statement across college football. That was a big shock. I was pretty fired up. Someone said, hey, enjoy your quarterback coach. Thank you. I will, bitter Oklahoma Sooner fan. I will gladly enjoy my quarterback coach. I'll also enjoy going to the college football playoff. Good luck.
And then on top of it, his Packers win and the Sandlot charity auction is live. Set us up for the event that's going down on Sunday with the Tolos.
Yeah, so happy to be back at Topgolf in the Colony. We sold out again, but there are opportunities to still attend, and that is to hang with you guys. So as I'm sure you guys talked about, you call Troy, place your bid, hang with Troy, RJ, Sean, and You never know which celebrities are going to stop by and decide to hang out. It's a great event. We play golf. Golf's merely a backdrop, though. Food, dinner, drinks, snacks, dessert. There's a silent auction, a live auction. We got a special presentation. We're going to honor a DFW, a Hall of Famer in his sport from a DFW team. So you're not going to want to miss that. And then the auction, always a blast. Go 1053thefan.com/sandlot. That's 1053thefan.com/sandlot. Perfect holiday shopping. This is we're day two of Hanukkah. Christmas is coming up. You got stuff for him, stuff for her. You got celebrity experiences. You got autographed items. Go to dinner with you guys at Knife. So all sorts of stuff. You want to get to know some of the guys at the station, opportunities to do that. It's always a lot of fun. And for those who aren't aware, raising money for the Sandlot Children's Charity. We support kids with physical and intellectual disabilities through our grant program to give them opportunities to participate in athletics, sports-specific opportunities to help them address a major need of health and wellness, while also giving them the opportunity to build confidence, improve socially, and just gain some of the skills that don't just allow them to survive, but allow them to thrive in everyday life.
Thank you, man. Congratulations on an amazing sports weekend, and we'll be talking about the charity throughout the week. We'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, and hey, I appreciate all you guys. I just wanted to tell us to know how much I appreciate you guys and everyone else at the station. You guys go above and beyond in supporting this, and I just want them to know you guys do this out of the kindness of your heart, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Jared Sandler, Ranger Insider, here on 105.3 The Fan. Hit us up to golf with us on Sunday. Who's going to win the Bay bid? 877-881-1053. It's open now and throughout the entire week. 877-881-1053.
It's really the free booze and golf that I'm going for.
College football!
They go victory formation. McNamara to a knee. Ohio State has one timeout left. They're not going to use it. 48 seconds to go, and it's going to end right here. 42-27. Michigan will defeat Ohio State and head to Indianapolis for a Big Ten title.
Woo! That is the call on Michigan Radio. What an absolute stunner. A stunner by many. Many felt it was a stunner. How many? Well, 90% of the people who bet on this game felt it was a stunner. 42-27.
At Caesars in Michigan, 95% of the money was on the Buckeyes. In Michigan, a bettor at MGM, though, put $200K on Michigan plus 250.
Oh.
$500,000 payout.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
They scored on their first four possessions after the halftime. It was a 14-13 Michigan lead at the break, and they win 42-27. This is Jim Harbaugh's first win against Ohio State. This is the first win Michigan has had against Ohio State since 2011. This has been hammer versus nail. It doesn't matter if it was Urban Meyer or if it was Ryan Day.
15 of the last 16.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it's been. Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer, Ryan Day, doesn't really matter. Jim Harbaugh had a little bit of a this wasn't a jab. This was an uppercut.
This is a tombstone.
This was a shot fired right at Ryan Day, who, by the way, remember, he took over for Urban Meyer after Urban Meyer had made this, you know, like he had taken the program to amazing heights.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Tressel took it to amazing heights. And Ryan Day took over that program and has continued that trend, but Jim Harbaugh is not, let's just say he's not impressed.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, you know, but they didn't.
Yo.
Yeah, wow.
Jim Harbaugh, he's a tool, and he's dorky and all that, and you can maybe even say he's underachieved a little bit at Michigan. That line is an all-time great. Some people in life end up at third base, and they think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
Yeah. Now,
wow.
It's a great line. Now, this is one of my pet peeves of sport fans. You know, when you're 0 for life and you finally beat the team one time, you don't get to talk trash.
One time.
You don't get to talk trash against that team. That team has completely emasculated you.
Owned you.
For a decade.
Yes.
And you don't get to beat them once and then talk trash. It's like these stupid Eagle fans. You don't get to win one Super Bowl and then talk all the smack.
Yeah.
All right, you know, like you got it. You got like chill out, guys. You know, you like Michigan. You have done. I mean, it's like my school. Like, I'm not gonna make fun of Alabama fans when we finally beat Alabama. Again.
Right.
All right. You Aggies. You sit there, take your you won. Shut your mouths and take your talking to for the next decade because you probably won't win again. But like it's a great line, and I'm here for
to call Ryan Day. Basically, called him a silver spooned.
Yeah.
Incumbent.
Yeah.
That's what he called Ryan Day. Ryan Day again. In these booster discussions, these booster pep talks always get you in trouble. He was talking about dropping 100 on Michigan.
Yeah.
And they stormed the field.
Yeah.
100,000 people.
Unbelievable. 100,000 people. Dropping 100 points. You know, not a good day for Ryan Day. Not a good day for Ohio State because, you know, now they're in a predicament. They're in a lump with a half dozen other teams. What's going to happen? Because the college football playoff rankings come out tomorrow. What's going to happen to Ohio State? What's going to happen to Michigan? What's going to happen to Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, Todd McShay and Lee Corso getting roasted. Todd McShay getting destroyed. Did we ever find out what happened to Todd McShay when he got taken off of television? I haven't seen stories on that. He said that two-loss Ohio State should make the playoffs over undefeated Cincinnati, and Corso's getting roasted as well.
Yeah, and, you know, like a lot of people, like Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman in the NFL, said, yeah, no. You got a bunch of, you know, huge McShay fan, but there's no way two-loss Ohio State should make it over Cincinnati. If that's the case, why play any games at all? Now, listen, Cincinnati plays Kansas 8 times a year. Like, let's just be fair. That's what they do.
Yep.
And so there is
now, can I blame them, and can I say make your schedule tougher? How much blame can I put on that?
Well, you know, there are two.
Obviously, you're locked into your conference.
So you're locked into your conference. There are two non-conference games. We're at Notre Dame and at Indiana, who are regional. You know, those are regional games.
Yeah.
And those are fine games.
Notre Dame's a great. That's a fantastic. Great opponent.
Yeah, fantastic. But, yeah, so how many other games do they have? What, one other non-conference game? So I suppose you could have, but, you know, they did the best they could. It's probably not the easiest team to schedule. Like, if you're a middling Power 5 team, you're not going to schedule Cincinnati. They're a good squad. So you're probably not going to want to have that. You don't want that smoke, let's be fair. What else happens? Well, you know, now the other thing is what happens to Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State won Bedlam.
Snap, knee, ball game. Oh, baby, what a night! Oh, baby, what a night! Score. Oklahoma State 37, Oklahoma 33.
You want a case for the Cowboys, the Pokes, to make the Final Four? Michigan's got one top 25 win. Notre Dame has one top 25 win.
Oh, Lee Corso, by the way, said Notre Dame should be up there over Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, Lee Corso needs to get with the century. This isn't the 80s anymore.
I can't believe they still let Lee on TV.
Oklahoma State has four top 25 victories, and they're going to be behind Michigan and behind Notre Dame in these rankings when they come out tomorrow. And that's just not fair. You know, they've played a better schedule. They have the same amount of win, same amount of wins, same amount of losses as Notre Dame does and as Michigan does. And they've played a much tougher schedule, and they've beat better opponents. And if it's not about beating better opponents, then what is it? Is it about having a better name on the front of your jersey? If that's what it's about, that's what it's about, and I'm fine with that. But just be honest and be upfront. Because Oklahoma State deserves to be ahead of... Go look at Michigan's schedule. Just go look at it. And tell me the good win on there not named Ohio State. Go look at it. Go look at Notre Dame's. Tell me the great win Notre Dame has. It's not better than Oklahoma... they are not better than Oklahoma State. Their resume, at least, is not better than Oklahoma State's. And Oklahoma State's going to wind up getting screwed. And maybe this is why Lincoln Riley decided to leave. I don't know that he lost to Oklahoma State. No, this was in the works long, long before.
Yeah.
But the moment that he knew that he was out of the national championship running, which the second loss would do that, he basically said, gave USC the okay to announce that he was going to leave Norman. And look, that's smart of him. As long as you got a chance to win and make the national championship game, stay at Oklahoma. Or at least keep it a secret as long as you possibly can.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Kevin Durant. Has he sent Lincoln a thank you gift for now being the most hated person in Oklahoma? I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Man,
he
looking
is.
At all this footage, it's so, I love it. It's so dramatic. Like with the 4 a.m. footage of the cars pulling into the airport and Lincoln and all the assistant coach. Yeah. It's so seedy.
Yeah, it's
so
almost like seedy. It's happened before at a school in Knoxville, Tennessee. Has it happened before
yes,
there?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It's probably going to happen again this
Look,
week.
Man, all right, come on. The Oklahoma fans, like, we got to give a reality talk on how angry you should really be at the guy.
Very.
Yeah, extremely. Extremely very. Angry.
Why?
Because you promised not only your fan base, but also the recruits you're bringing in, that you're going to stay there. You gave us your word you would, and you didn't. Number two, you are going into the most dominant conference. You are being welcomed into the SEC, and no, you're like...
And that's a reason to go. It's a run.
It's a bit of a chicken-ass move.
That's chicken-ass.
This is a separate.
He's not going. There's no pressure in Norman.
What should he have said to the recruits? What do you say?
No, you're right. You can't say anything. You got to play the game.
What do you do?
You got to play the game. Right? I get it. You should be upset because it's a lateral move, at best.
Mm. I know. We had Jared Sandler but I don't think it's lateral at all.
That USC is better.
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think anymore it's better. Their facilities are not great. The conference is not very. They don't care about winning. You know, Oklahoma, they care, but they will give him.
But it's USC. Like, come on.
It's Oklahoma.
Like it's USC.
Oklahoma's as successful or more successful of a program than USC ever historically. They're about the same historically.
But it's not like
LA.
It's not the ultimate prime time. When you think about college football or you talk about it over the past, 20, 25 years, not the past 10, but we're talking about Texas, you're talking about LSU, you talk about Alabama, you talk about USC. And then you can talk about your Oklahoma. And it's Southern California.
You talk about Oklahoma more than Texas and LSU over the last 25 years.
What is a more prestigious job? A more headlining prestigious job. You can go in a weaker conference, be the hero, and own recruiting and talent in that state. And let's stop with this whole I'd rather live in North. I mean, this guy's going to live in California versus Norman, Oklahoma. Like I know we're in Texas and I know we're in this region. Let's stop acting like anyone else outside of this state or in Oklahoma would pretend that that's a lifestyle decision.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley actually said in his statement that was released, this was a personal decision solely based on my willingness to take on a new challenge. And I felt like it was the right opportunity for me and my family to do that because I'm horribly scared of playing Bama and Georgia.
Well, is that the end of it? No, that's amazing.
That's a fantastic cut. You guys
right there.
Can feel good about your tough guy status in the conference. But in the next 10 years or 5 years, would he have a better chance to win a national title at USC or Oklahoma? Over the next 10 years, to me, the answer is definitely USC. I don't know about the next five in terms of getting his own talent in there. It's the easier path. We got into this argument with some of the SEC media members in California. Would you rather be in the NFC East or the NFC West? Give me the NFC East. Give me the NFC East. And that is what his new conference is.
It's a bad conference. There's no doubt about that one. He basically has to worry about Oregon. And that's it. And, as the Fantex brought up, Lincoln Riley coaches about two games a year without a massive talent advantage. And he usually loses both of them anyway. So maybe it isn't a big loss for Oklahoma.
Smart decision, Lincoln.
It might be a big loss for Texas A&M, Troy. I'm sorry. But... And I don't think Jimbo's going anywhere, but Jimbo's about to get a new contract, a fat new contract, because LSU and Oklahoma.
Didn't he just get one?
He's going to get another one.
Yeah, he just got one.
Because LSU and Oklahoma are about to have a bidding war for that dude, and A&M's just going to have to pony up the money. And if I'm Jimbo, that's exactly what I'm doing. He might make $20 million a year by the end of this college football coach carousel season.
And LSU is going to get who now?
They're going hard. They're going to go hard after... After Jimbo, because they lost out. Billy Napier did not go downstate.
Crazy.
Or upstate, whatever it is. I don't know where Lafayette is.
We don't pay attention to that state.
But, he decided that he's like, hey, I'm going to go to Florida. screw all you dudes. I'm going to Florida, man. Nobody could get Billy Napier to go anywhere, and Billy Napier decides to go to Florida.
What LSU got right now is our name. They got our number with that loss this weekend to my Texas A&M Aggies. My Texas A&M Aggies losing to LSU in Coach Ed Orgeron's last game. I mean, that was embarrassing for Jimbo Fisher. That is highly embarrassing, and even more to the players, because guess what? I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure this is the honest truth. There was some sort of team meeting after the game where everyone said, you need to be held accountable and need to apologize. You know why? Because half the team tweeted within an hour after the loss, I apologize for what we did out there. We'll do better next year. Not a chance.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.